I'm Christine Yont Jones with Children's Ministry Magazine, and I am here today with Carl Bastian, who is the kidologist and the founder of kidology.org. And Carl, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Carl, I am always intrigued with what you're thinking about and where you're going, because I see you as a leader in children's ministry and a real thinker.
Thank you.
So I've been really curious by one of your postings at discipleblog.com. You posted about the absence of Bibles in our churches. What is that doing to our children's ministries? I'd love for you to summarize. What are your views on that?
Sure. Well, I did a post there as I was really, something just kind of had started to kind of simmer in me. As you may know, about 2 years ago, I went full-time with Kidology, and I'm no longer a full-time children's pastor, and that has enabled me to travel a little more and to see other churches, and often substituting in other churches when their children's pastor's on vacation or something. And one of the things that has really struck me that I kind of thought was happening but I hadn't really seen is that the Bible really is absent at a lot of children's ministries. You know, we have a resurgence, just incredible access to awesome children's ministry resources today, and I'm one that uses all kinds of them and creates them myself. And yet, I think there's a tendency that we've gotten so much of this cool stuff that often the Bible isn't found. I have been in churches where the kids don't bring their Bibles, and I think that's something that many people would agree is a common trend seen even in adults. But where I couldn't even find Bibles, where I wanted to do a sword drill to have kids look up verses on the topic, and then they would read them, and then I would teach from them, and I couldn't find Bibles in the church. I went to the resource room, which was an incredible resource room that would be a model one, except there were no Bibles in it. And I went to the library, and I couldn't even find Bibles in this library packed with churches, with books about the Bible, but no actual Bibles. And it just kind of got me thinking, how have we gotten to a point where in some churches, certainly not all, but you not only can't find Bibles, that they're just not used. And I just kind of put a challenge out there and asked people who were reading this blog, to ask, do their kids bring their Bibles to church? Do they actually use them? A lot of your kids, bring them. Mom and Dad send them with a Bible and the cover never gets cracked. And that's why we often have forgotten Bibles behind the church. And then I tried to turn it on us to say, I think we're part of the problem. It's not just about the kids. Are we reading the Bible? Are we studying the Bible? Is it guiding us? Is it the center of our life? And I kind of think part of that problem is that we're modeling and reproducing ourselves maybe a little more than we'd like, or maybe in areas that we don't want to model. And so I just put a challenge out there that if we really believe the Bible is central and that it is what transforms kids' lives, as God does the transformation through, the Bible, God's Word, do we need to make it a little more visible? And I suggested actually teaching holding the Bible, having kids look things up in the Bible, and kind of put that challenge out there. And I think it challenged some people. It prodded some people, and as often happens in the blog world, some people didn't really like it.
What did you find out, Carl? Did it resonate with people that they're also seeing the absence of Bibles in churches and in children's ministry specifically?
Well, I think so. One of the dangers of evaluating through a blog is, as you know, as a blogger yourself, about 1% of people comment, and often the negative ones comment. The people who just go, "Oh yeah, right on," they're on to the next thing in their blog line. So you can't. It's not scientific research, but I do think that. A lot of people probably were challenged or encouraged by it, as I saw through comments and through emails that I got separately. And we actually ended up making a discussion on kidology.org to kind of facilitate that. But I think that some people felt a little challenged. Children's pastors and teachers are out there. They're all doing their best. They're all working really hard. And, of course, they all desire for kids to know and to love the Word of God and come to know the Lord through it. And anytime you're working hard and doing a good job and you're challenged, there's a tendency to get a little defensive. And so as people have kind of leaned back in on that challenge, ironically, I found myself getting a little defensive. And I thought, well, this is really odd. I didn't expect to be defending, encouraging the use of more of the Bible. And I guess one thing I just have to say is I'd rather be in the position of defending the encouragement of using more Bible than be defending losing less of God's word in children's ministry.
Well, let's talk about some of those reactions. I think some people would say that you're saying we need to bring our Bibles, we need to open our Bibles, we need to have the Bibles present. And some people would say that you're focused too much on Bible knowledge. You know, it's not just about being able to find a book in the Bible for the sword drill. It's not just about knowing the facts of the Bible, but some people have said in response to your blog that it's really more about life transformation than Bible knowledge. What would you say to that?
Well, I think we're confusing two things. One, in any debate or argument in life, there's balance. And so while I'm pushing people to one spectrum, they're going to push back and swing it the other way. And I obviously don't think it's all about knowledge or sword drills or knowing the books of the Bible. There's a balance, and we need both. But the other side is that we're teaching kids. And a lot of times when we're teaching kids, we just got to give them the nuts and bolts that they will need later. You know, I have a 2-year-old, and he's learning the alphabet. I could argue that letters are not that important. He can't really use these letters. He can't make words yet. He can't form sentences or write stories yet. But I have to start by teaching him the alphabet. Soon he's going to form words, then he'll form sentences. Eventually, I can't wait to read little stories that are invented in his creative little mind. But it starts with the alphabet. And when we're teaching kids about God, our goal is life transformation. But we've got to give them the spiritual alphabet. We've got to give them Bible verses and Bible concepts. And some of that is rote memory. If that's all we give them, we are giving them a disadvantage. But there's a little bit of both going on. We've got to give them the tools. But if we want them to build their life on the Word of God, they need to know how to read it, how to look things up, and how to find stuff, and to have a passion for the Word of God so that when we don't have us and our cool PowerPoints and our games and our puppets and everything, they still have a love for the Bible and a deep core understanding that this is where all that great stuff came from.
You know what, I think I hear what you're saying, and tell me, Carl, if I'm not getting this right, but you're not talking about that it's not just the physical presence of the book. You're talking about the spiritual power, the mystery of the Holy Spirit interacting with the words in the book, and have we lost connecting the mystery, the power of the Bible, with children's lives just by the sheer absence of Bibles in our environments?
I think that's true, but I probably am, at least in that post, I was focused a little more on the physical presence. Just because there's a need for kids who are concrete relational to see where this truth is coming from. I mean, they have good teachers that aren't Christians teaching them good things, to be nice and to be kind and to be responsible and to be citizens of this, you know, good citizens of this world. They're getting good messages all over. We can talk about the bad messages another time. But they need to know that the messages that we're teaching at church, these good messages about being nice and kind and patient and obedient, are coming from the Word of God, not my goodness as a teacher or maybe even my coolness as a teacher, because we sometimes try to be cool for the kids to get them to follow what we're teaching. But it comes from the Bible, and that's why I really encourage teachers to hold the Bible when they teach, so kids see that visually what I'm teaching them isn't because Carl thinks this is something you can do, but Carl's teaching you what God says in His Word that you should do. And I challenge kids even to ask me, where did you get that in the Bible? I got to tell you, I had a little boy come up to me, and I won't even tell you how many years ago this was because it wasn't that long ago. For years, when I have gone over the Wordless Book and talked about heaven and salvation, I have used many jokes and analogies like many people have, even a popular worship song on the radio right now, talking about the streets of heaven being made of gold. And I had a little 7-year-old come up to me and say, Pastor Carl, where does it say in the Bible that the streets of heaven are made of gold? So I whipped out my Palm Pilot, which I had at the time before iPhones came out, and I said, well, that's easy. I'll look up streets in gold. And I had no results. And then I had a little boy say, maybe if you look up just street in gold, and I don't have the reference memorized. I think it's in Revelation 3, but it talks about the street, the main street of heaven being made of pure gold. And here I had been saying something for years that I had heard repeated that wasn't biblical, and I celebrated that little boy challenging me on where did I get that in the Bible, and actually had to change my terminology and how I present the gospel. I was a little embarrassed that it took a 7-year-old to do that, but that comes from constantly saying what I'm teaching is out of this Bible, And you can even ask me where I found that in the Bible. Because long after I'm gone and they've outgrown the puppets and the things that I use to engage them, I want them to go with a love for the Word of God and seeing that as their authority, not me or their Sunday school teacher or anyone else external. It's got to come from the power of the Word of God.
And you know, it sounds like you're longing for these children to become modern-day Bereans who, you know, the apostles would come and teach, but the Bereans were praised in the book of Acts because they would search the scriptures daily to see if these things were true.
Amen. You know, and it's, you know, for those who maybe read that and felt a little stung or convicted, you know, I want to say to them, you know, the first one convicted was me. I mean, I've written a novel for kids, Order of the Ancient. Perhaps people have seen the Toy Box Tales, toyboxtales.com, where I make little online videos with action figures for kids. I'm a magician and a juggler and a puppeteer and a balloon guy, and I got a six-foot unicycle. You know, do I teach kids effectively? I think I can say yes. Do I entertain kids? Definitely, I can say yes. But I have to ask myself, do I instill in kids a passionate love for the Word of God? And not the Bible in and of itself, but because it is the primary means for God to reach into kids. You know, if we really believe, you know, Jeremiah, where he says, is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks a hard rock into pieces? God's word is the most effective. And we believe the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. Sometimes in our practice, we seem to be saying, you know what, I think my PowerPoint game or my skit is going to be most effective. And in practice, the message we're giving kids is that the Bible is kind of the backdrop, not the core center of everything that we're doing. And I just think for kids, they have to visually get that message from us that the Bible is important by seeing it. And they need to also, the kids learn by what they do, they've got to touch a Bible and hold a Bible and use a Bible so that they learn that it's important. Otherwise, the message they get is that all of these truths are important, but the Bible really isn't.
You know, Carl, I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, you're quoting scripture. I thought of faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I wonder sometimes, and you've challenged me to think about, have we lost our faith in the mystery of the power of the Word of God? And are we diluting it by paraphrasing it and packaging it? But there's something, I don't understand it completely, but there is something so powerful and mysterious about the actual words, the actual Word of God. You agree or disagree?
Oh, I definitely agree. And here's the irony. Satan's goal is to keep kids from coming to know God. Once they're saved, he's lost that battle. He goes into plan B, and that is to keep them from having the most effective life with God possible and becoming a light for him. You know, I'm all for resources and curriculum. Group produces wonderful things, and there's other companies out there that produce wonderful equipping resources to help people take this huge, intimidating book and break it down in ways that can teach kids relationally and in ways that they can understand. People don't do that naturally, and I'm all for that. Kidology.org is all about supplemental resources and creative ways to teach the lesson. But could there be a danger in spending so much time on all this other stuff that we actually forget the source of it? You know, some people have kind of leaned back and said, well, you know, this is where our culture is going, if our technology is going, and there's going to be e-books, and eventually, you know, there won't even be print Bibles. And, you know, I kind of got curious about that, so I did a little Google research, and I just put in phrases like e-books replacing print books. And the interesting thing is that argument's been going on for 10 years, and even companies like Barnes & Noble and others have said that, you know what, they're not buying the hype anymore. E-books are still a niche market. There's a lot of places that you can't read a book if it's electronic, you know, in water, on a plane, when it's taking off and landing. There's all this protection, so you can't just pass it on to a friend or sell to the garage sale for $2. And while certainly that day and age may be coming, in fact, in my book, Order of the Ancient, takes place in the future where there is no print, and the Bible is the only remaining print book. It's kind of a cool aspect to that novel. But I would still say, even if all that's true, and even though the experts are saying it's going to be our kids' kids who that's the reality, I say, why would the Bible be the first to go? It ought to be the last to go. You know, okay, eventually maybe there won't be print Bibles. But to use that as a reason to have less of God's Word in our church today, when textbooks and novels and comic books and everything else, they're not going away anytime soon. you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's kind of a weak argument. And I'm one that uses my iPhone during church to look at Bible passages. So I know that electronic age is here. And I know a pastor who preaches from his Palm Pilot, you know, and it looks a little silly. So we are, that is going to be a reality. But we're talking about children. I think let's not push them that way. Maybe that's going to be their reality as an adult. But in today's world, kids need to be reading books, and the most important book they need to be reading is God's Word.
Absolutely. Carl, thank you so much for spending time with us today. You've certainly given us a lot to think about. And for our listeners who want to learn more about what Carl is up to and be challenged in their thinking, go to kidology.org. Thank you, Carl.
Sure. And some of the other things I mentioned at kidologist.com is my blog. There's links to all the others. Just to make it easy, so I don't have to rattle off a bunch of URLs. But thanks for your time, and I appreciate all that you're doing, and enjoy seeing you in the blogosphere now, and look forward to talking again.
Thank you, Carl. This is Christine Yount-Jones with Children's Ministry Magazine. Thanks so much for listening in today.